slowly rolling into it and off of corner number four. It's showtime at Skagit Speedway.
Coming to the line, checker flag flies. Steve Peters, the V8, the battle wagon, picks up the win.
It's showtime!
One car was in front of it that was junk, and another car was back of it was junk. So I cut both of them in half, took the good part of one car and the good part of the other car, and welded them together.
You know, move to Sean's number and use it. It's just because the memory of Sean was his V8. And, you know, I just kind of lived for racing and racing with his number just to remember him by.
Well, welcome to episode number two of On the Gas, a Skagit Speedway podcast. Blake Anderson, Eric List here with you. We've got another fun interview with Steve Peters coming up. But, Blake, another week, more racing here at Skagit Speedway.
Yeah, we're back. Les Schwab Tire Center's fireworks show night on Saturday night. Going to be a good one with the 360 Sprint Cars, IMCA Modifieds, and Hornets. And Steve Peters, an appropriate guest this week.
Yeah.
The winner in the Hornets last week, and he's a guy that owns a Hornet and runs a Modified.
Yeah. Well, I think with that, we'll bring in Steve Peters, and we'll get to the call. Steve, you there?
I am.
Sweet. Well, welcome. Thank you for joining Blake and I on the second episode now of the Skagit Speedway podcast. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So let's just first kind of start off with, how did you get into racing? What's your racing history and background kind of look like?
Well, my racing, as far as stock car racing, or what you call stock cars, racing at Evergreen Speedway. My first race there was a demolition derby in 1989. As a matter of fact, we are coming up 4th of July. That was my first day out at Evergreen Speedway in a demo car.
Wow, okay. So then what made you continue after that? How did you continue?
Well, you know, it was kind of the demolition derby thing was about all we had at Evergreen with these big cars. And what happened to formulate back after 1989, I think it was about 3 years, so 1992, they formed WWRA, which was Western Washington Racing Association. And they began racing on Friday nights. And then I think they even did some Sundays and Wednesdays, kind of moved it around. But I stayed active with them for a few years and doing the bump to pass, basically a demolition derby car with some gauges in it. It really wasn't there wasn't much difference. It was just a place that we could go do an oval track racing with these big demolition derby cars. And I was active in the demolition derby world, and you know, we were doing Tacoma Dome and some King Dome when the King Dome was around. We did demolition derbies with the monster trucks. And then I became active. 1995 was my first time on a Saturday night, and I went out there to begin racing figure eights.
Okay.
And that was where I started racing, basically, you know, racing for points and championships. And I've been active, and that's been 30 years. Since I started racing figure eights, 1995, that was my rookie of the year with Evergreen Super Figure Eight class. And then we formed the Contact Figure Eight class in, I think it was 1998, and more racing happened from there.
Contact Figure Eight, I mean, I feel like figure eight racing is contact-induced in general. That's funny.
It was heavy contact. Everything but through the intersection, you could make contact. And I'm telling you, it was a thrill show. There was never anywhere on the track that you couldn't see somebody getting spun out and hit at the intersection and driving away. And I won three championships at Evergreen Speedway in that contact figure eight division over a period of time. And as well, I won three Super Figure Eight championships back-to-back. And a Stinger championship, which was the four-cylinder cars. So seven figure eight championships overall.
What prompted you to decide, I'm going to leave this pavement stuff where I'm having a lot of success and try the dirt stuff?
Well, you know, I'm in my 60s. I think I was probably 63 here when I kind of got up into Skagit here doing the Hornets. And, you know, I race in memory of my son, Sean Peters. And this will be 12 years that we haven't been together. And a lot of our racing, everything was together. We raced for 7 years at Evergreen Speedway before we lost him. And there was a period of time where we came up to Skagit and we raced the Hornets. And it was, I think it was probably around 08 or 09. And we just loved it up there. It was such a new atmosphere. The whole, everything was different. It felt different there. The people and the environment, of course, the dirt was different. The show was really quick. There was just a lot of really good characteristics for a veteran like me and going to a lot of different speedways. Something really attracted me to Skagit Speedway.
So you bring up your son, and he was a big part in your racing. Are you open to kind of diving into some of that a little bit?
Oh, anytime. Yeah, definitely.
So first of all, I know you started in the 30 and then his number was 8 and made that switch to V8. Kind of what was your reason behind that?
Well, Sean growing up, he went to every race from day one. He was at Evergreen Speedway before he was even a year old. He was up there in the grandstands with my wife and with my mother and father. And they were the world's greatest fans. And Sean, you know, learned how to race just being in the grandstands. And, you know, it was he was very fortunate to have my success be his success in a way, you know, coming into the Battle Wagon Junior Racing. And for Sean, he had a likeness to the letters with numbers. And he saw some Demolition Derby guys once with the V in front of their numbers at a Demolition Derby. And he thought that was pretty cool. So once he became 16 and he started doing races, well, of course, he went right into doing truck derbies and car derbies. And he chose the number V in V8 instead of just his number 8, which he was running the Extreme Contact Figure 8 class at 16 in a 72 Chevy Impala.
Wow.
It was huge.
Yeah.
And again, he was very successful. He won a 50-lap Extreme Contact Figure 8 championship. They called it the World Championship. It was a big advertisement thing for Evergreen. But we finished 1 and 2 that night. I could not catch him in that Impala. I had my, what we called the camo caddy. It was my Seville that I won my championships in, and it was lightning fast, but Sean had it, and it was his first year of racing, and just after the contact figure eights, I think it was a couple more years, we got him into the super figure eights, which is, you know, of course, where I started my figure eight career, and he almost won a championship. Unfortunately, we had a mechanical failure on the championship night, and he just lost it to, he's probably a 10-time champion now, Cowboy Carlson from Evergreen Speedway.
Okay.
Gone. And, but yeah, Sean had his number 8 on the figure 8 cars, and then he had V8 for all of his demolition derbies, and of course he did bus races and boat races and train races. He was an entertainer as much as I was before I started racing. I've entertained, you know, it's a part of who I've always been, and we put on a really good show at Evergreen Speedway. But you know, connecting with the fans and the Battle Wagon name has been synonymous with there for, you know, 35 years now, and it's been a blast. It's been a blast.
You mentioned the Battle Wagon. That's kind of a double pronged question here in the camo caddy. What was the impetus behind, you know, all your cars are camouflage, and then it's kind of become synonymous with Skagit Speedway now, yeah, the Battle Wagon. So what were kind of the thoughts behind going, always being camo and the Battle Wagon nickname?
Well, I do come from a military background, but that didn't have much to do with it. My father is a veteran of the United States Air Force, retired, as a matter of fact, and we lost him on Veterans Day when he did pass. So we're very connected when it comes to the veterans and you know, Memorial Day, which ironically Sean's day is at Evergreen Speedway, the Sean Peters Memorial Day Demolition Derby is held every year on Memorial Day at Evergreen Speedway. And then so my stepdad, he was Army as well. And, you know, I think a lot of that stuff was in my head. But when we first built the first car in 1989, we just happened to have a station wagon. And it was my brother-in-law's, and he had, someone of his friends had carved a battle wagon into the steering wheel while they were all 12 of them driving to school in Medina in this big station wagon back in the 80s. And I knew once his dad gave him that station wagon, within a year, I would probably own the thing because he was going to beat it up. And he did, and I ended up with it. And we didn't know what to paint the car initially. You know, we knew we were going to do a demolition derby paint job on it, but it said battle wagon on the steering wheel, so we went with kind of a military thing, and we camoed it up, and we hooked up a fire extinguisher to the signboard on top, which is a cutout of a tank, and we put some smoke up to it when we did the best appearing, and that happened to be our first trophy was the best appearing that day in the station wagon, the battle wagon, and we shot this big cannon smoke out of the top, and the crowd went crazy, and it's a fan appreciation win. And so we won that out of probably 20, 25 cars that were in the best of hearing. And there was about maybe 100 cars there that day. There was a lot of demolition derby cars back in the day, and I ended up rolling that car in the main event. Didn't last long. So that was my entry into it, but, you know, it didn't I didn't run away from it. I connected, and it was really connecting with the fans and the name. And we just kept painting the cars pretty much the same and sticking with the name down the door. It said Battle Wagon, and yeah, it was the number 30 back then. And Sean was born on April 30th, and that's how I came up with the number 30 back in the day. And it's been retired in Hall of Fame at Evergreen Speedway from the figure eights, which was nice. That had a lot of reason why I decided to, you know, move to Sean's number and use it. It's just because in memory of Sean was his V8. And, you know, I just kind of lived for racing and racing with his number just to remember him by. Plus, we remembered him every year at the Speedway, which, you know, it was just, I'm later in my years of racing. I figured I'd be supporting more Sean's career in racing and, you know, locally and wherever it would have gone, then been racing so much at, I'll be 65 in December. So, but, I'm really healthy in my racing. I still, feel like I can compete with the best of them. I'm, working really hard at the modifieds. That one is, has been a huge challenge for me, but, I've enjoyed it so much. I don't even know when I'm going to quit doing the modifieds right now. It's really my highest interest is just accelerating in that division and reaching some goals in the modifieds as well, which I almost won a heat race here a few weeks ago. That
you
was
did. Yeah,
that was close. One of my goals. And believe it or not, I had to change my driving to do that. And it was almost probably after 10 races, I realized I was doing something a little bit wrong with my entry, and I tried something different after 3 weeks off. I knew I was coming back with this change in the drive and a little bit in the car. The heat race made the difference for me. So, yeah, we're just going to keep on making adjustments and, you know, getting up on the wheel. And the Hornets has been a filler for me. You know, I was fortunate enough to get back in the car in between race here. I've had Pete Jensen driving it a couple of times, and he's taken a couple of weeks off. He'll be back here probably after the Nationals to drive it again. And I think I've got someone else in mind. I haven't talked to him yet, but I think I noticed that there's a date available for someone else from Evergreen. That's he's a very, very versatile four-cylinder driver. And I think we'll see if we can get him to fit in up at Skagit. But, you know, we got Bryce Kolar up there and my friend Bubba Peters. And these are guys that I brought to the Speedway just in the last 2 years of racing its gadget regularly. So it's nice to have more people, you know, having fun like I'm having. I'm just having a blast up there. It's great. I really love the dirt.
You mentioned Pete Jensen there. Obviously, you've got a strong military background. What was the connection with Pete? He's a Vietnam vet, and it's a pretty neat story that he's still out here racing.
Yeah, he's just such a good guy. He's got such a long history of racing all kinds of cars, mostly four-cylinder stuff. You know, he started back in the foreign stocks, I think in the 60s at Evergreen Speedway.
Wow.
And he's a mini stock champion. Definitely got a military background. I didn't even know of that until we, you know, recently here in the last year became closer friends, met him at the grocery store. I said, hey, you need to jump in my Hornet sometime. I'm running a modified. I really don't have time. I said, if you're interested. And oh my gosh, next thing you know, we're getting helmets and fitted and he's getting a seat and we're getting air and I've got to move like from three wires to start the car. I've got to make a gauge panel for him so he can see it. And you know, it's like I had to simplify the car for somebody else. I just kind of still a demolition derby style sometimes for some of my junk, but no, it's been a lot of fun. He is a character. He's got such a good heart, and he's still got a drive in him to race, and he's very healthy and very fit. He works out, I'm pretty sure, about four times a week at the Y.
Yeah, he
swims hundreds of thousands of yards, and him and his twin brother are up there hanging out with each other when we are racing, which has been a couple of races now, and definitely got plans to jump in here again. Right now, we're just holding off for the Nationals because the car's perfect. And I really, really like to win that Hornet Nationals race. It's been really close a couple times now. Lost the lead in the last two events here in the last couple of years. So maybe we can close this one out.
Extra money on the line at the Hornet Nationals this year, too.
Well, I saw that. Somebody posted up. I saw $12.50 there. So, yeah, even more interest. You know, for me, sometimes it's the money always comes secondary to just getting the trophy.
Yeah.
Just getting the win is just everything for me as a racer. Bonus is always afterwards. You go, oh, that's right. I get money for this too. Man, this is even better. But yeah, love racing. It's 36 years of my life doing it, and it's been a great journey.
Well, you just talk about winning. I mean, you won here last weekend in the Hornet. What do you remember from last weekend in that win?
Man, what a great race. You know, Bryce Kolar and having Howard Voss back there. Watching the video really showed me how fast there's a bunch of guys out there that when they get out on their own, they really can stretch their legs in their cars. And right now I'm seeing, you know, there's probably at least 6 to 8 guys that can get up there and win these races right now. It was a pretty close pack the other night. But, you know, unfortunately, we're only getting – you know, we've got less laps than we should, and the races are really good right now. You know, what we did the other night, but unfortunately, it's a timeline. We're just not getting the 20 minutes and 20 laps, and that's not working out. But racing with these guys, man, I thought I had myself stretched out, but they were all over me. and Bryce, oh my God, making contact and. You know, that to me is just the best. And Bryce and I have raced for, my gosh, since WWRA, as a matter of fact, Friday nights when he was a kid. And we've had our battles in almost every division, but we've come together as friends to do this together. He drove my car last year to a third place in the Hornets, and he has already built two cars. He's bringing another one up here Saturday for his son, Talon, to drive. So that'll be a second car, and we have plans for a third one. And
sweet,
I'm really interested in bringing, building some cars over the winter, and just introducing them into the Horn class. Just putting some rides together, doing side hobby. I'm kind of semi-retired, so got a lot of different things I can do. But staying active in racing, and Skagit is my new dirt home. That's what I call it, my dirt home track, and just love it. Love promoting it. And you know, I've had highs and lows there. You know, a couple weeks ago I hit the wall, doing a good 60 in a Honda and, that car just got built that week and it got built for a couple months, but it just took me a few minutes to take the thing out and, outstanding, safety crew. Those guys took care of me like I've never been taken care of before after, you know, pretty tough accident. And, you know, considered my age, all my safety gear, everything that I use worked great for me. You know, I had a whiplash, but, you know, to be expected to have some of that would hit a wall straight like that. But no, I can't speak more highly of the crew, the facility. Galen calls it my team, and it is. I really feel like they're all helping me and working for me. It's been a great, great time at Skagit.
Well, we're so happy to have you here and glad you're enjoying your time. You mentioned building a Hornet. What is that like? How do you build a Hornet?
Well, you know, we're just starting out with kind of a good 165 horsepower format for somebody that wants to, you know, have what you can have to compete, to be a, you know, a top 10 car with a good driver in it. And so we're just buying, we're seeing a lot of different cars that we can buy. Most of these cars that we've been buying, like Bryce and I are into the Integras. Mm-hmm. We've used them for Stinger 8s, and I've converted mine. As a matter of fact, mine was a Stinger 8 car before we turned it into a Hornet. So, you know, it went both ways, and it went through an intersection. There was some contact being made, and, you know, and it hasn't changed much, I have to tell you. There's still contact being made. We're just going around in a circle now instead of through an intersection. But, you know, it's a good Honda. We've noticed, you know, top six cars that are running right now are, except for Voss, are Hondas and Acuras at Skagit. So we thought about maybe just getting the good Honda Civics, and again, 165 horsepower is the kind of the maximum that they want in that class. So there's a lot of Hondas and Acuras available all the way up into the 2000, I think, that we can, you know, we can get them at tow yards and different places where they're affordable, and we can just drop cages in them. There's so many swap meets and things that you can get for these cars that makes them, you can put them together affordably. And I've got a shop that, you know, has space, and we've built cars over the years, and we're set up for that kind of thing, or at least I am, and I can do it over a period of time. And again, it's about finding more people to be interested in racing. Mm-hmm. It's been great for me, and the people that I have brought to the Speedway are just loving it. My friend Bo Peters, man, this is his bucket list. He was just a guy in the grandstands 2 years ago.
Really?
When I showed up, and we just happened to have met each other years ago because our last name is Peters, but yeah, we weren't family, and we were in the tow business. And so I told him I'd be racing up at Skagit a couple of years ago, and just running the Hornet a couple of times. So he came up in the stands and rooted me on. And then I asked him the next year after I got into a modified from Mr. Louie Nutter, because Bubba got me connected with him. And all of a sudden now I've got a modified instead of a Hornet. And so Bubba ended up being my crew chief all last year for my rookie year in the mods. And then over the winter, he said his bucket list said, I want to go racing at 62. And so Bryce sold him a car, and he finished up what needed to be up to it, and he's been out there racing now this season, and he's having a blast. I just love seeing these two guys, having a blast and making friends. Just the whole thing, just everything I've done at Skagit, they get to enjoy it too.
That's awesome.
Hornet Nationals, what are your thoughts going into that? How big was it, I guess, for you to get a win too, as we're just a couple weeks out from the biggest Hornet race of the year on the West Coast?
It's huge. I haven't driven my car really at Skagit since last year.
Yeah.
And last year it was, you know, we got a track record with it last year. It was extremely fast. It was perfect for me. And then I put Pete in it, and he wrecked it a couple times here in the last or made some contact with it where we had to adjust, make some changes on the car and fix different things. Mm-hmm. And it's not bad, but unfortunately, I didn't know how it was going to drive for him. And it's hard for him to give feedback off the dirt when he's never really been on the dirt. So I took it down to Elma, and we went down there on an off weekend, and I jumped in the seat just to get some seat time in it. And, you know, we timed in while we were doing hot lapping, and we were the fastest out of 38. On their track, right up against Corey Swetman, who was their number one guy. So I figured the car did good. The track was a little bit wet. Later on in the evening, we were kind of, Bubba would have said, we were swatting flies out there. We were extremely loose during the main. Didn't have the results I expected, but I figured the car was good to go. And then we put Pete back in it. unfortunately, there was a five wide, and he was the outside wide, and he hit the wall pretty good, and that took him out for the last race here recently. So I put everything back together, and Pete said he'd step away just for a week so I could get the car dialed in again and get everything fixed on it. And here, I went out there, and it was fast. It was fast. It was extremely fast. I thought it was faster than it was until I watched the video. But being at the wheel, man, I thought I had a full stretch on these guys until I got bumped. And, I heard them on my left and right eventually. But it was great racing. It really was a good racing. Too bad we couldn't get the whole 20 out of it. It would have been, it could have gone anyway. Bryce could have easily passed me, which he said, just another lap and I would have had to. I've heard that a thousand times. yeah, that comes with it. So, but great to have a couple more cars up there this year, with Bubba and Bryce. And there's going to be more. It's a good entry level class, and it's really a good group of guys with Brent is running, kind of taking care of everybody. And we're just having a lot of fun.
I enjoy watching them.
Oh, it's one of the best classes.
You guys are fun. You get after it. You guys put on a good show. You bump. And
we appreciate it. I know right now I think, we're having our own meetings after the meetings, and it's really to try and get, there's a lot of entry-level guys coming into this and first-timers and stuff. So they don't quite understand some of the race receiver and the lineups and the, so when we're starting to have some problems possibly getting, the cars lined up and losing time out there is what's taking our laps away from us. So, having our own pit meetings and talking about these kind of things and getting everybody to know each other too makes it that much easier to, kind of work with everyone and try and get this class to be even better. Sometimes some of these guys feel like they're the lowest class out there and they don't get treated like the other ones, but you just got to make sure that you're on your game and that you're doing everything that you can to make the show run properly. Mm-hmm. And being in line and getting all that stuff done is, Brent has been doing a great job. And I see those kind of things because I love that type of organization, as in, the safety crew and the lineup crews and, the radios having Galen on there. I've known Galen for 30 plus years.
Really?
We raced at Evergreen when he was racing a bomber, they called him. Stock cars on the 3/8 mile. So, he's got a long, rich history before Evergreen. He was racing in the dirt with his father, I guess. And so these are his roots. And, I'm coming into everybody else's world that they've been in for a while. And I've been welcomed. I really, really have been. It's great.
It feels like of all the classes, the Hornets are one of the most close-knit. I mean, always in the pit area, there's the kind of that group of you down that northern side. It feels like everyone is just helping everyone out. I mean, you mentioned Bubba and Pete, but it seems like you all are just friends out there.
Yeah, like I said, it's a really close-knit group. And, they all pit down in that area. I think they need to open it up a little bit, like move the semis up a little and give the Hornets a little bit more room to fit some people in there. I know it's limited when you get the big trailers in there, but they only have so many places they can park them. But it's nice to have them as a group, and everybody helps everybody. If there's somebody having a problem, there really is that group of guys that have knowledge and can fix things and, get things fixed for everybody in time to get back out there. I mean, from qualifying to heat races to mains, there's not a lot of time in between to really fix, anything major. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of ways to MacGyver things up and, get back out there on the track and go have some fun with the guys. But, it's my friend Bubba will tell you, he's just having a great time with good people. He calls it a fellowship and a camaraderie. And, he's around all these young guys, and he's just excited for them and who they are and the things that are going on. And he's community-based, and so he's really good for racing. He really is just very encouraging for all these younger kids. Inspiration. Yeah. He's just a really good-hearted guy that's living the bucket list, and there's a few of them. I mean, Pete's, it might not be his bucket list, but it is something that he's never done, and I'm pretty sure he could win a race, you know, if everything goes right, just like anybody else out there in the top 10 could win a race if everything goes right for him. So just keep working hard, elbows up.
I thought Pete was going to win at what, opening night for the Hornets? He was leading until he had, what, a flat tire, I think?
He did. Oh, yeah, that's right. He had right front incidental contact to avoid the rollover. He went up, and of course, you know, no mirrors, no nothing, and he kind of banged into another guy a little bit, and it towed him out about 10 inches. So, yeah, it took away the steering. Yep. But, no, he's a hell of a driver. He really is.
I have one more question for you. When looking at my race pass, did you run a 360 sprint car in 2000 at Grace Harbor?
Oh my gosh! How did you know that? Oh my goodness!
The beauty of my race
pass. Wow! Oh my God! There's only one picture of it. It just happens to be up in the rafters in my shop. Oh my gosh! Yeah, number 30 on the wing, and it just happened to be a time I left Evergreen over some penalty issues, believe it or not. And I got invited by, his nickname was Skinny. And he had a sprint car Coulson deal going. Gosh, I'm trying to remember his name. He was out of Kirkland and definitely very active in the sprint car scene and knew everybody, but he invited me to go to Elma in this sprint car. And, you know, I would, nowadays, I wouldn't even probably, well, no, not, let me change that. After running a modified, I would probably get into a sportsman. Before I ever ran a modified, you wouldn't even see me near or thinking about running any kind of a sprint car. But after being on the dirt now and kind of feeling the characteristics and running the modified, I really have gained a lot of confidence in, you know, overdriving a car. It's and being sideways. But Elma was an experience, but you know, I didn't know how you drove a sprint car, and it was, you know, it's easy to step on the pedal, but that was going down the straightaways. Doing it in the corners was a different thing, and when you let off the throttle, of course, it turned you right. And I tried really hard. I had a lot of fun down there. It was a methanol carbureted sprint car back in the day. As a matter of fact, I still have the motor that we put in there. I had the hassle-free motor that this guy put a hellacious cam in it and built it up so that we could go down there and have some fun and have one picture of it. But, the number 30, wing sprint.
Yeah, field of what looks like 17 cars. Yep. Donnie Fry won that night.
Rick Shauna, Smith yep. was there.
Shauna Wilski, Sean Rice, Rick Smith finished fifth. Yeah.
Jim Kirkham.
Man, Shauna Wilski, that's right. I mean, it's just strange to hear these names and that I was a part of something like that so many years ago, and you remembered it or you found it.
I found it. I didn't
goodness,
remember
guys.
It. I wasn't born in 2000.
Eric wasn't born.
No, I got you. No,
here.
That's...
well, yeah.
Wow. Wow. Thank you for that. That's awesome.
Throws that in there occasionally here at work, Steve.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I really tout that
fantastic
in front of Blake. Uh-huh. All right, Steve, thank you so much. We appreciate your time. This has been a really fun conversation.
Well, you're welcome. Thanks for having me again. And again, thank you guys for all of the the videos I get to watch, YouTube and your Skagit, whatever they're calling it, Facebook Live up there, whatever. I get to watch my races on the way home and, you know, right after they're done. It's really, really cool what you guys have been doing the last few years and growing into the facility that's going to be known nationwide from all these big races that are being run up there. So great job, guys. Great job.
Before we let you go, are you doing double duty on Saturday night?
Oh, yeah. There
with the Modifieds and Hornets. Are you going to race both?
Not a chance. I did that last year. I know, man. I know. I just can't get in and out and in and out. And you know, I know. Maybe to next year.
360s are on you. You got the 360 motor
time.
Triple duty.
Oh, God.
Go from the sprint car into the Modified, into the Hornet. Just park 1, 2, 3.
Got a couple more days. I'm going to hit Evergreen on the 4th of July and do some mini bump to pass down there the night before.
Oh, yeah.
So just getting that little hot rod, my 95 Geo Prism. My little tank, it's ready to go smash. And then, jump in the modified Saturday night up there. So yeah, that's kind of enough for me for the Friday, Saturday. Perfect. And then next week, I'll be in the number 88 Super Figure 8 car at the Evergreen Speedway Figure 8 Nationals. I'll be running for my friend Guy Litz in that hot rod, and then right back up to Skagit again. It's been a great year for me. Great schedule for me.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Can I just say Bump to Pass is one of the most fun classes to watch? Sorry. No,
oh, it is.
Like, Dad and I went for one of the Figure 8 races and watched Bump to Pass at Evergreen. That's just a fun class.
Great. I mean, where can you pay $40 and smash into cars and get a trophy and a paycheck? You know,
right?
It's just like, you know, all you got. The best part is you're just, you know, for the most part, you're turning cars, you're dumping cars, and the fans love it. And if you can go out there and pip 20 cars, you know, in a race, I mean, yeah, you just bring some fun of the speedway and mm-hmm. make sure that you're bumping and turning cars and. Yeah, you can get fans real easy up there, and they love that stuff.
Yeah. All right, Steve. Thank you so much. We'll let you go. Take care. We'll see you Saturday.
Thanks, Steve.
You got it. See you then. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, big thanks to Steve Peters for joining us this week, fresh off the big Hornet win last week. And we'll take a look at last week, Eric. It was a busy night here at Skagit. We had 14 410s, and we kind of knew
post-Dirt Cup,
the 410s would be down a little bit. And we had a 360 challenge race down at Elma, so a couple of our drivers went down to Grace Harbor. Levi Hillier picked up the win there. Yep. 22 Sportsman Sprints and 22 Hornets. And the Sporties and the Hornets have been growing. And as you just heard Steve say, the Hornets mm-hmm. maybe going to be growing a little bit more towards the end of the season as well. But some good car counts in the middle of the summer.
I think we're going to see probably one of the biggest Hornet classes for the Bob's Burger and Brew Summer Nationals and the K-Pro Auto Hornet Nationals. I think the Hornet class is going to be really big with what we've seen already. Because what was it? Did you say the number of Hornets we had?
We had 22 on Saturday. Yeah. And I know there's some stipulations there on having to run prior races here at Skagit to support the racetrack and not just kind of show up and race for big money. Now it's paying $12.50 to win, which is exciting for the Hornet drivers. And we appreciate them showing up each and every mm-hmm. week with 22 of them. The 410s, it was neat to see Jason Solwall get back to victory lane. It had been a couple years, and he ended a winless streak a couple weeks ago in the 360 and then gets right back at it and picks up a win in the 410s.
I think what was so interesting about that, you heard, I think, Jason say it and Caleb talk about it, was the old school, in a way, Skagit Speedway, and I think that plays right into the hands of Jason Solwall. It was a two-lane racetrack, but it wasn't
cowboy up.
Dusty. It was very cowboy up. It had a lot of grip. It had a lot of moisture, depending where you want to run. And I think that really suits Jason's driving style, and he talks about it. I think he's a guy that can run the bottom. It makes me think of Donnie mm-hmm. Schatz a lot, where if you can get Donnie Schatz rolling on the bottom of any speedway, good luck. Donnie Schatz can kind of win. If you can get Jason a bottom that he can roll around here at Skagit Speedway, I think he's pretty tough to beat.
Yeah, he's going to be tough to beat. Corey Eliason ran really good in Shannon Wheatley's 45. He was in the mix, and mm-hmm. you know, kind of bounce back from a Dirt Cup where it was his first couple nights in the car and then ran second here on Saturday night, which is fun. But I'm not sure we'll see them again until maybe after Knoxville Nationals later in August. Sounds like they're maybe going to travel a little bit. Trey Stark's third, and Trey just does what Trey does.
Easy.
You know, just in the mix, keeps it, finishes, and picks up points. And that's really what Jason Solwald's so mm-hmm. good at, too, and keeps him in the title chase every year.
Well, that was one of the main reasons, you know, Jason won the 410 title last year. Well, Trey missed a race too, but, missed a race, had Dom fill in. But you look at Jesse, he went 7th to 4th.
Yeah.
Nice run. Even Chase Getz, 11 to 6. Wasn't bad at all.
Levi Collada, top 5, mm-hmm. you know, his second top 5, fresh off the win at Dirt Cup, which is his first top 5, and gets in a different car, same motor package, mm-hmm. I believe, but back in the F1 and runs top 5. Which is pretty cool. And you look at the points now. And Trey Stark's 33 points up on Jason Solwald. Robbie Price has been a fixture of consistency. He's 3rd in points. Jesse Schlott fell 4th. And Justin Youngquist 5th. And J.Y. led last.
Yeah, so we got to talk about J.Y.
Yeah, he's been fast and just kind of had some tough luck there. And some lap traffic, maybe a little timid there. And that's where Trey capitalized. And that's a tough seat to be in when you're leading and you don't know how hard to push it in lap traffic.
Yeah, it's so hard. I mean, you saw a modified race, or not modified, a sporty race this year that was kind of a similar style. Macy was leading, got caught up in some lap traffic of really none of her own. It's just racing lap traffic. It can bite anyone. It's it's part of that racing.
And it was tough, you know. Yeah. It was through, you know, the high side was right through the middle of the racetrack, so it didn't have a ton of space, and you're in a bad situation there, a tough situation, maybe not bad situation, but that kind of bit him. But he still came home with the top 10, but JY has been fast, and he showed he's tied for fourth as I scroll down. So a pretty good points battle right there for third. Robbie Price is 137 back in third. Jesse Schlotfeldt and Justin Youngquist tied for fourth, 140 back. So really, really tight there, third, fourth, and fifth. Going to change here in the next month.
Yeah, and then even we'll go and look at that Sportsman. Steven Hendrickson picks up another win this year. What an impressive guy he's been to watch. Coming from Deming, now here to Skagit as well.
And Jaden Whitney struggling there.
I can work my way through it.
He had a DNF, and he had took the points lead off a DNF from Justin a couple weeks ago.
Yep.
Then he has a tough break there. Justin takes the points lead back with a second-place run. They have been fun to watch. Justin and Jaden have been really fun this year. And Dustin Gehring on the podium. How about that? He was super pumped.
And what a good run for him. Going seventh to third, he just kind of picked his way through. Used, you know, I think a couple of those restarts to just kind of build his momentum. But he's a guy that he's doing double duty here. He runs 360, he runs sporty, he's getting the seat time, and it's you see it paying off. Now, unfortunately, I think he had some motor issues.
You look fourth and fifth as a couple of Deming graduates. Macy Logsdon, she's been super impressive as a rookie, already has won. And fifth is a Jalen Serrano, and Jalen gets better every week. It's been fun to watch her improve in the Sportsman, and that's been neat. Kira Zylstra's been up there. She was seventh. She's been flirting with the top five quite a bit this year, and she's been improving. She's been doing a little bit of double duty, running the 360 just a little bit. But the Sportsman Sprints, they're the points chase to keep an eye on this year because of the motor giveaway, the engine giveaway at the end of the year. You got to be in the top 12 to be eligible, and we're giving away four. So you have a one in three chance of getting a new RaceSaver power plant. So that's been fun to watch the owner points there. And right now, Justin Jacobson, the points leader, 21 ahead of Jaden Whitney. Steven Hendrickson, third, 47 back. And Macy Logsdon is fourth, 56 back. Kira Zylstra rounds out the top five.
Yeah, and we heard Steve talk about how competitive the Hornet class, the Sportsman class, is so similar. It's so competitive, too, where it feels like any car that top 10 can win, really, on any given night. And then Hornets.
Yeah, the Hornets have been, I mean, Howard Voss, just a picture of consistency. He's been on the podium all three nights they've run. That's been neat to see. But beyond that, we've had three Hornet races and had three different winners.
Yeah, and I think that's going to continue. Raven Skogru, too, I believe, has a top five streak continuing where yet to finish outside the top five. Yeah, three races. Same with Howard Voss. Braxton Hausman, yet to finish outside the top 10 through three races.
Yeah. So, I mean, consistency matters, and the Hornets are showing that, and they've shown that there's a lot of variance, too. Bryce Kolar, you heard Steve talk about him in the interview. He's fourth in points as a rookie, so that's really neat. And Colin Sims, back to victory lane a week ago, he's fifth in points.
Well, we've and got
a pretty good points battle there, too. You look third to, let's see, about third to eighth, or third to tenth, 23 points separating third to tenth.
Oh, jeez.
That is super close.
Good quick math. No kidding. Wow.
So, I mean, that's...
It speaks to how competitive the class is.
And that's going
to
change this week with the Hornets being back. So that'll be something that next week will be fun to kind of look back on. As we said, next week we've got... Or this weekend, the 360 Sprint cars return. And you look at their points. And Trey has been... I mean, Trey has been a machine in the 360 this year. Colton Heath is second, Jason Solwald third, Levi Hillier fourth, and Colby Thornhill rounds out the top five in 360 points. Yeah, the IMC Modifieds are back this week, and we'll see. They've Jeff Westergaard's been the man to beat this year.
Oh, he's been so good.
And Adam Holtrup's been right there closing on the door of a victory. He's only 6 points back. James Bundy, he's been on the podium. He's 6 points back. So we have a tie for second in points. In the Modifieds, the point system's different. It's 40 points to win, down by one, so that's six positions on the racetrack. So we've got some good points battles as we pick up the heat of the summer, no pun intended, as it's the middle of July, mid-season championship fireworks. Bob's Burgers and Brews Summer Nationals right around the corner for the 360s, the biggest 360, highest-paying 360 race in the country.
I'm going to sound biased here, and that's okay. I feel like our fireworks show, The Skagit Fireworks Show is one of the best I've ever seen. Like, even when you go to, and again, I know I'm biased, we're a Skagit Speedway podcast, but putting the bias out of it, I feel like it's one of my favorite fireworks shows to watch all year long, just because the amount of stuff that is blown up in the night sky is unbelievable.
I can take my bias out of it, because, I mean, when I came here, everyone talked about how big the fireworks show. I was like, okay, you know, I've been to a lot of racetracks. Been to a lot of racetracks through my years and my travels, and I can tell you our fireworks show, it's the biggest fireworks show I've seen at a racetrack, and I'll put it right up there. I mean, I don't know what Eldora Speedway's fireworks show night looks like. I know when Roger had Eldora, Roger Slack loved pyro, so I imagine that their fireworks show might top it, but for fireworks shows I've seen at a racetrack, we're right at the top, and it's impressive. We go all out. And hey, Friday night, don't forget Friday night, Skagit Speedway night up at Deming Speedway, and they've got a fireworks show on July 4th. So we hope to see you up at Deming Speedway. Wear your Skagit Speedway gear up there. We work closely with Deming, got a great relationship with them, and really, you hear us talk about it throughout the podcast, the first two episodes. We've really starting to see drivers move up the ladder, racing at Deming, coming here. And a lot of our guys race at Deming on Friday nights. Not only do they move up to running Sporties and 360s here, they still race on Friday nights at Deming, which is cool.
I think it's just interesting to watch, because it's how busy that is. It's not an easy thing to, you know, run your micro Friday, get into a car Saturday, and then wash them all Sunday. But these kids are doing it, and they're, I would say, not complaining. We don't probably, I'm sure they could probably complain at some point, but they're not complaining
to us.
Yeah, they don't complain to us. So, hey, they're not complaining. But a big thank you to Les Schwab and fireworks night here. The parade in Cedarville Woolley, too. I believe there will be some Skagit Speedway cars and
a couple of our teams and a couple of our some of our equipment from here at the racetrack going over there. So if you're looking for a parade
11
on Friday.
On Saturday. Friday.
Friday the 4th, go over there. Eric will be there. Yep. I'm sure you'll be there signing autographs, filming, and getting content. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel as well. We're constantly putting new content up there. We put yesterday put up a Levi Hillier video, today put the Rudine Racing trailer tour up. You've got some cool content that we captured out at the Skagit Skies Air Show at Skagit Regional Airport on Saturday. That was just you and I were just in heaven. Yeah. That was incredible. But we'll have that content up, and we're constantly doing things. So our TikTok, we've been super active on our social media channels, and TikTok and YouTube have kind of been the focus this year on growing those platforms. And keep in mind, can't make the races on Saturday night, we'll be live on our YouTube channel. Make sure you, it's big for us not only to subscribe, but if you're watching our content, make sure you like it. That just helps us get in the YouTube algorithm, helps us grow it, and allows us to keep providing that free content for you guys. I think we're one of the few tracks in the country where you don't have to pay to watch Skagit Speedway online. We take the feed off our big screen, so the format, we're working on some formatting stuff, but Cole's got some stuff figured out there, but that's a little, sometimes why it gets a little wonky is we take that feed right from our big screen, and our big screen's a little bit different size.
3050 by 1080, I think.
Yeah.
Something along those lines,
But we're working on it, and we want to keep providing free content, so make sure you like and subscribe on our YouTube channel.
You can hit that little bell, too, so you'll get notified every time we go live and post new videos, and you can stay up to date that way.
Yeah. But make sure you follow us on our social media, and we'll keep plugging away on the gas. It's been fun, and we'll work on next week's guest.
Take care, everyone. We'll see you later.